What is up, guys? Today's date is September 10th. It is a Monday. I'm Steven Masso, and you are listening to Via The Source. Now, Dolphin fans, how excited are you about that week one win against the Tennessee Titans? The Miami Dolphins defeated the Titans 27-20 to begin the 2018 regular season, and I'm pretty hyped about it, as I think a lot of people should be, and I'm going to be recapping this game for this episode. As for the rest of the NFL, because I do cover the entire NFL, I'm going to be talking about that tomorrow. I have to wait until the Oakland Raiders finish playing the Los Angeles Rams, and then I'm going to go over the entire league. I'm going to go over the games, and I'm also going to talk a little bit about some fantasy stuff, some guys I think you should pick up, guys you should look out for, and then, of course, I'm going to preview the next Miami Dolphins game. So, to start this game, I'm going to be going over the good and then the bad. I'm glad to say that the bad is not too bad, and there's an overwhelming amount of good that I saw in this matchup against the Tennessee Titans. The first side I'm going to go over is the defensive side of the ball, and the first thing I have to say is the game ball, undisputably, at least in my mind, goes to Rashad Jones, who had a monster game. He had 7 tackles and 2 interceptions. One tackle specifically, he destroyed Deion Lewis behind the line of scrimmage. That was awesome. And the 2 picks were very critical parts of this game. One of the interceptions was very well played by him. He was looking over the top. He just snatched down an overthrown ball by Marcus Mariota. And then the second one was a gift via Blaine Gabbert. He kind of threw it directly at the chest of Rashad Jones, and that ended up being a nice play for him. So game ball for me goes to Rashad Jones. Very well played by him. The next good thing I have to talk about on defense is Xavien Howard. When we had Lewis Sung on the show, he said that if you don't notice a cornerback, that means he is doing a darn good job. And guess what? I did not notice Xavien Howard that entire game. And that is because he was blanketing his defender and they were not targeting anybody on his side of the field. I went back and I watched the whole thing. They were not targeting Xavien Howard. Instead, they were targeting Bobby McCain. Xavien Howard, Rashard Matthews did not have a single target the entire game. Corey Davis did have some success, but that usually came over the center of the field where the zone responsibility was not falling on Xavien Howard. So Xavien Howard had a tremendous game blanketing his receiver the entire game. The next positive has to go to the rookie, Minkah Fitzpatrick. This guy is an absolute gem in my mind. He had a few hiccups here and there. He missed a very crucial tackle on Marcus Mariota on a third down that allowed him to get a first down, but then he redeemed himself right after. He made 2 big plays in the flats, and his tackling technique is absolutely outstanding. One of the nice tackles came on a fourth down, a very pivotal play where the Titans elected to go for it and try to get the touchdown. Fitzpatrick stepped up, straightaway speed, and got the defender with a beautiful tackling technique that did not allow him to get any more yards as soon as he made contact. So an awesome game there from Minkah Fitzpatrick. He almost had a nice little pick six opportunity, dropped the pass, but it wasn't a significant play at that part of the game. It was kind of wrapped up by that point. And then Bobby McCain, I think, also had a very good game for him. I said that they were targeting him instead of Xavien Howard, and for the most part, there was very little success. There were 2 plays in particular where Minkah stepped up. One of them was in the red zone. Fitzpatrick kind of floated one that if he would have thrown harder, I think would have been a touchdown, but he kind of lobbed it. Bobby McCain got to the spot really quick, swatted it away, did an awesome job, saved a touchdown there. Another play, very similar thing happened, throw in the flat. It was not in the red zone though. Bobby McCain stepped up, made contact as soon as the ball was getting there, was able to jam it loose. One play that concerned me a little bit from Bobby McCain, and that's what I'm going to say, is I'm scared about him getting beat over the top still a little bit. He got beat on one play. I believe it was by Tawan Taylor. He beat him over the top just slightly. Marcus Mariota threw a beautiful ball. Taylor dived for it. He caught it, but he dropped it in the end zone. And that was a very catchable ball, a play that would have been a touchdown if he just held onto it. So that was a little bit concerning from Bobby McCain. But aside from that one play, I think he did a very good job as an outside corner. And then the last positive thing I want to touch on is I think the line defensively was doing an awesome job getting pressure. While there isn't going to be anything in the sack column to identify or to signify that the pressure was there, if you watch the tape, they were just constantly, especially from the outsides, applying constant pressure. And they were also doing a very good job at stopping the run. Usually the problems at stopping the run came from the second line, the linebackers, who I'll talk about right now. I don't think they did a good job. So now, to go straight into the negatives, because there were some negatives, the biggest one has to be tackling. Tackling remains a huge issue. And I will give them some benefit of the doubt when I say that Deion Lewis, is one of the shiftiest players I've ever seen, and I'll die saying that because he is just so elusive, hard to stop. He spins, he moves, and he's a small guy. It's hard to get your arms around him. Well, the defense could not do it. Deion Lewis was able to find these tiny holes, and every single time one of our defenders made contact, he would still manage to pick up a yard or two. He was falling forward on every single play, and the Dolphins just weren't wrapping him up. It seemed like they were trying to hit him with their shoulders or go for these kind of weak arm tackles. All I know is the linebackers need a lot better technique when it comes to tackling. Maybe watch a tape from Minkah Fitzpatrick because he does it the right way, and I just wish we had a lot more Minkah Fitzpatricks at the linebacker position because, like I said, Deion Lewis was just at will, just penetrating this defense, and there were so many plays where it looks okay that we held him to a one-yard carry, but it should have been a loss of like three, or they got a seven-yard carry that should have been only three, but then the missed tackles, there was at least one on a lot of plays, and that needs to be cut down tremendously. Now, the next negative I'm going to say, and I think it's also attributed in large part to the linebackers, a little bit to the safeties, TJ McDonald, but in large part, it seemed like it was mostly falling on Kiko Alonso, and that was that the center of the field was open almost the entire game, and the Titans started to figure this out. They were hitting Corey Davis at will over the center of the field and their tight ends. It seems like Miami is still struggling to cover the tight end. Delanie Walker had a pretty solid game. He had 52 yards receiving. But yeah, that tight end position and that whole center of the field continues to be an issue for me. I see it, and it's kind of a very detrimental thing, especially when we have guys like Gronk in the division who thrive off those routes in the seam and all the quick reads and the slants inside by the New England Patriots. That inside of the field needs to be a area that is more locked down, and it looks very loose right now on the field. But I said going into this game, the key to winning it would be able to shut down the run inside. And I think the Miami Dolphins were, to an extent, successful, at least for Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry finished the game with only 26 yards rushing and 2.6 yards a carry, which is pretty good. The Titans ended up finding more success, I said, with Deion Lewis. He had 75 yards and 4.7 yards per carry. So while there was that little bit of an issue with Deion Lewis, I think for the most part, it could have been way worse. And the fact that we were able to keep these two running backs just at 100 yards rushing, I think that's a very solid accomplishment on the defensive side of the ball. Now, to head over to the offensive side of the ball, I think one of the biggest positives on the offensive side of the ball was the offensive line. I said that I had never seen Tannehill have that much time in the pocket to be able to make reads. At times, it seemed like he went through every one of his reads, and then the play was able to extend from there. And that's something that we typically don't see from Tannehill. We usually see him getting pressured. A lot of the times, he's getting hit as he's throwing the ball, and that's how a lot of his picks happen. But this time, he was able to make reads, have plenty of time, and it was a beautiful thing, and I have to give a big shout-out to the offensive line. Another thing is Tannehill had a very solid game as well. He had 20 completions out of 28 attempts, 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. We'll talk about the 2 interceptions in a bit, but for the most part, the offense seemed to be flowing well. They were able to get that tempo they wanted to do, and in the first half, we saw a lot of Tannehill taking what the defense gave him, and that was working out very well. In the second half, we started to see him open up plays a little bit more. Of course, he had a big pass to Kenny Stills for 75 yards, and that ended up being a touchdown. And that leads me into my next point. Kenny Stills is the definition of consistent. That guy had 2 touchdowns and 106 yards receiving, so he was clearly the most dominant receiver for the day. But that's not just saying that none of the other receivers played a part, because I think they were all equally being thrown in at a nice little change of pace. You had Danny Amendola. He had only 26 yards receiving, but his 26 yards were very, very crucial, and they came at important times. His routes were mostly cross routes, things over the center of the field, and he really seemed like a safety outlet for Ryan Tannehill. Then you had Albert Wilson, and I really was impressed how Albert Wilson was being used, because they actually had him at running back sometimes. They were doing a lot of jet sweeps, and they kind of had him, I think, in that Jarvis Landry role. He was catching those little tiny routes. But the thing with Albert Wilson is, I think he is much more athletic than Jarvis Landry is. He has a quicker first step, and his burst is more than Jarvis Landry. So I think for some of those plays, it is more effective with Albert Wilson there than with Jarvis Landry there, just because he is quicker than Jarvis Landry was. Landry wasn't necessarily the fastest guy on the field, and Albert Wilson is extremely, extremely shifty. And then Jakeem Grant, he had an awesome kick return for a touchdown, but from the receiving standpoint, he was also being used seemingly as a true number two receiver. They weren't just having him out there on screens and playing to his height. They were sending him on some deep routes, and I really liked the usage we had for Jakeem Grant. It actually almost made me forget about Devontae Parker entirely. Now, we knew Kenyon Drake from the running game was going to come out and be the lead guy. He had a solid game. I wouldn't say it was the best. He found some big carries here and there, but he was getting stuffed a lot, but that is not attributed to him. The offensive line was just kind of collapsing on certain runs. He had 48 yards, 3.4 yards a carry, so it wasn't a dominant game from Kenyon Drake, but this is where I bring in Frank Gore, because this was a big shocker to me. I know people have been saying that Frank Gore still looks elusive, but I was skeptical, and I was concerned about his age, and everyone was saying, no, you shouldn't be concerned, he's a legend, and I understood that, but you know, I was skeptical. I wanted to see it with my own eyes. Well, Frank Gore looked as quick as ever, and it's crazy to see someone of that age dominating. He had 6.8 yards a carry, 61 yards, and he was a pivotal player in that Dolphins 90-plus yard drive across the field where they ended up scoring a touchdown, because he had two carries that were over 10 yards, or 10 yards. He had two carries of 10 yards. So while we were thinking this was Kenyon Drake's lead role, is possible in my mind that this turns into more of a two-headed monster than I thought, at least, because I thought it was going to be, Frank Gore getting maybe five carries a game or less than that. But I think it could become a legitimate two-headed monster just because of how effective Frank Gore looked. Now, to talk about the bad from the offensive side of the ball, it is mostly attributed to Ryan Tannehill, but it is not to scare too many people away, but it's just something that I must say, because it is true that he had a few bad interceptions this game. The first came on a bad throw to Mike Gesicki. It was in the red zone, and Mike Gesicki was lined out wide against Malcolm Butler, the nice little one-on-one situation typically that you would like to have your big tight end in, but it went bad from the start. I think Ryan Tannehill underthrew the pass severely. People are saying that Mike Gesicki got beat, and it is true Mike Gesicki got beat, but the fact is there was no way he was catching that pass. The only thing he could do in that situation was to play defense and possibly not get it picked off, but still, that doesn't fall entirely on him. That was just a really bad pass, and Gase came out today and said that the ball slipped from Tannehill's hand, so it's understandable. The conditions were bad, but I think that was more so on Ryan Tannehill than Mike Gesicki. That was a very, very underthrown pass, and in the red zone, that cannot be happening. And then the other throw came, Ryan Tannehill, right after that Kenny Stills throw, it seemed like the offense was in full send mentality, and you know, the fans love it. After that big Kenny Stills touchdown, the next drive, Miami came back and they tried to connect with Jakeem Grant on a big throw, and that one was almost picked off. And I was like, I like that, but that's a little crazy, but I like that, but maybe we shouldn't do that again. And then a few plays later, they ended up doing that again. Him and Jakeem Grant kind of miscommunicated. I think Jakeem Grant was expecting it to be thrown towards the sideline. Instead, Ryan Tannehill threw it straight up the middle. It ended up being a very easy interception. It was like how your uncle throws a punt on Thanksgiving. He just says, I'm gonna send it back there. You go catch it. That's basically what it was. It was just like a punt. So those were the bad plays on Tannehill. But that's really the only knock I can find on this Dolphins offense for the most part. Yeah, there were a few plays where Tannehill was pressured, but it's going to happen. You can't expect your O-line to be perfect every play. Yeah, it would have been nicer if Kenyon Drake was able to find holes on every single play, but that's not going to happen every time. And the Titans do have a respectable defense, so I'm not completely mad about that, or I'm not freaking out, because I think matchup-wise, this was a pretty good matchup for the Miami Dolphins. Overall, I am very happy with this performance, and I don't think anyone should be taking it too lightly. I know one of the big narratives is going to be, you should have won. You were going up against Blaine Gabbert at the end of the game. And yeah, but the fact of the matter is this was a regular season game, and they weren't a completely bad team. It was a regular season game. We got the win. All we need is like 9 more of those to get to the playoffs. And there are some gimme games, but I wasn't looking at this game as a gimme. I knew it was going to be kind of a hard-fought battle, and one that if we won, that was going to be a good sign. You know, games that I would say are gimme are like the Buffalo Bills. If we were losing to the Buffalo Bills, that would be a sign of something bad. And maybe you shouldn't get too excited over a win against the Buffalo Bills. But a game against the Titans, I'll take that. That's a good win, and I think they played well, especially for a first game. Every team's going to come out rusty, and I think the Miami Dolphins actually looked pretty fluid on both sides of the ball in this game. So guys, 1-0, it's a good start to the season. I hope you guys liked it. Leave your comments down below. Hit me up on Twitter. You can follow me at Shady Steven or at Via The Source. Until next time, guys, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.